Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. Earlier this month, the rideshare service Uber appeared in Burlington. Uber is an app-based service that allows passengers to use mobile and other devices to call for a ride when they need one. But just last week, Burlington's city attorney announced that Uber and its drivers were in violation of city law. That is not new for Uber, which has faced regulatory challenges nearly everywhere it operates. Mike Isaac is technology reporter for the New York Times, and he joins us now to give us the lowdown on Uber. Mike Isaac, thanks for being on Vermont Edition.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, you know, for folks that are not necessarily familiar with Uber, and I have to admit, I was one of them. Can you tell us what is Uber? How does it work?
Yeah, it's funny, actually. My mom's in town, and I just started teaching her how to use it as well. It's pretty great as far as convenience goes. Essentially, it's an on-demand car service that you can call from your smartphone, right? So you have an iPhone or an Android phone. You open the app. It locates where you are, and you call a driver to come and pick you up. And then for a premium, in some cases a little bit over a taxi cab, in other cases a little below a taxi cab, they can take you somewhere, and all the money and payment part of it is sort of built into the app. You just give the app your credit card and jump out of the cab or jump out of the Uber wherever you are, and that's it. It's pretty easy.
Easy, but it's not a taxi service exactly. I mean, who are these drivers who are coming to pick you up?
Yeah, this is where things get sticky as far as regulation goes. It's the company claims that they're essentially a logistics service, not a taxi company. So all the people that Uber employs are not actually employees of Uber. They're contractors, and they're anyone from an actual licensed taxi driver who wants to work for Uber on their off hours to a regular person who just has a car and wants to make some money on the side.
It's just strange to me because, you know, taxi drivers, and I lived in some big cities for a while, one of the things that was great about them is they knew every nook and cranny of the city. They knew where to go. It sounds to me like, you know, you might get a driver from Uber and you want to go to an obscure place and maybe he or she doesn't really know how to get there.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, if you take UberX, which is Uber's lower-end service, it's essentially people who decided they want to use their car as a ride-sharing service, right? So it's a mixed bag. Sometimes I'll get, you know, great drivers who know what they're doing. They know the city. They can talk to you, and it's sort of fun. And then sometimes you essentially have to do the navigating for them or open up a Maps application on your phone and get yourself around. So it really is kind of varied in quality.
Now, the city attorney in Burlington announced last week that, quote, neither Uber nor the individual drivers have sought licenses from the city, and therefore, as the ordinance is currently written, Uber and its drivers are operating vehicles for hire without a license in violation of the law. Is this something Uber has faced before in other places?
Yeah, this is standard operating procedure for them. What Uber has done, and there's another ride service called Lyft, which is basically the same thing as Uber, but a competitor.
That's Lyft, by the way, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Correct. They enter a new city. They completely sort of disregard existing regulations. They don't register or employ drivers. They just sort of show up and say, come work for us. And then, you know, the service gets popular enough with people that live there to the point where, you know, lawmakers, they sort of have to deal with Uber, right? Like this service is operating. They don't have the resources to chase down all the drivers and you know, give them tickets or whatever. So they have to find ways to make this work legally in the state. And, you know, Uber's fighting those battles all over the country right now, and they're winning in a few cases, but it's still sort of up in the air in other places.
Mike, I assume you've used Uber before?
I have. I've used it in New York and San Francisco.
Now, generally, are the rides cheaper than a taxi ride would be?
So it sort of depends. Again, they have like tiered services. They have like a black car service, which is more expensive, but essentially what you're paying for is the experience, as they would call it. And then they have UberX, which is the low end. You know, anyone can drive for them. And typically you're jumping into like a Honda or, you know, someone's like compact car. And they bill themselves as cheaper than a taxi in certain states. Now, that's sort of, sometimes they use kind of funny math, so it's not exactly, you know, sure how accurate that is, but it's not terribly expensive if you go for the low-end Uber X service.
Taxi unions, not surprisingly, have been leading the push against Uber in some places. And do you think that if Uber gains in popularity, it could actually phase out the relevance of traditional taxis?
Yeah, it's really interesting. The unions have definitely used their clout to sort of talk to, you know, lawmakers and say, listen, these guys are breaking the law. We need to do something here. But a lot of the times, you know, sort of consumer demand speaks with their wallets. And if you reach a tipping point in these states, it's sort of hard to deny that you have to deal with Uber. I think the taxi industry is very nervous that this just seems like a better deal to people overall, you know.
Now, there was an incident in San Francisco where an Uber driver hit and killed a child in a crosswalk, and Uber claimed they were not liable in this case. What was their explanation for that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it goes back to their sort of saying, you know, we're not a transportation company. We just sort of, it's kind of like this Craigslist argument, right? They're just a place where they make matches, and they put the driver in touch with the passengers, but they sort of, you know, once something goes wrong, they sort of shun all liability, and that's another thing that's sort of up for contention right now in state assemblies and regulators sort of on their plates. You know, how liable exactly is Uber in this whole situation? And that hasn't been worked out either.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit to me too like Airbnb for cars. You know,
yep.
It's that same kind of way, people just doing this stuff on their own. Are there any cities that have actually banned Uber completely, to your knowledge?
There's not. I mean, you know, this is the problem. Is Uber, it's hard to really enforce a ban because, you know, you can't really spot Uber cars directly all the time, and states, you know, can sometimes, like California, for instance, is in debt, and they have a hard time sort of enforcing all this stuff. So unless you actively go out after these drivers, you know, you can't necessarily stop them. There's a lot of problems they're having in Germany right now, Uber, where they're trying to expand into there, but they have a very strong taxi union there as well. So there's not, even if there are outright bans, basically, it's sort of hard to make that actually enforceable.
Mike Isaac, just in about 10 seconds here, is Uber here to stay? Do you think it has a future?
Honestly, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, I would say get used to it.
Okay. Mike Isaac is technology reporter for The New York Times. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.